You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Čedomir Stojković, Serbian lawyer and the president of the October Group.
Political Periscope.
Quite a lot happening in Latvia lately. The government is going to resign. You have a new president. Are there more important issues right now, or those are the most important?
Well, definitely, those are the most important and pressing currently. So there is slight upheaval, to say it mildly. So as you mentioned, we have a new president. The prime minister has just resigned. That means also that the government has resigned. So it will continue its duties until a new government is formed and approved. And we're also going to have a new mayor of Riga, because the mayor of Riga also resigned a bit ago, but now a new coalition has been formed. And so the mayor, the prime minister and government, and also the president. But at the same time, I would also not exaggerate things, because, you know, the course of Latvia, you know, when it comes to foreign policy and also domestic policy, is not going to change fundamentally.
What led the government to resign, and how long will this crisis take, what do you think?
Well, there were many causes. So the immediate cause for the fall of the government was the election of the president, because the president was a member of the party, which is currently the largest party in the parliament, and which is also the party of the current, but the resigned already, prime minister. So the president was elected with the votes of the opposition. That was immediately clear at that point that there will be changes also in the government. And it also seemed that the prime minister was maybe tired of his role, because he has diligently served around 4.5 years through quite a difficult period. The COVID-19 pandemic, Russia's war in Ukraine, and the list goes on. And he was not happy with the current coalition, and the coalition partners were not satisfied as well. So that led to this decision, which was taken yesterday by the prime minister to resign. And it was only a matter of time. And also at the same time as a new coalition is being formed in the Riga city, which is the capital city, the biggest city by margin of Latvia. So these things also related.
So what's going to change?
Well, the faces will be slightly different. Some of them already are. So the president, he's the former minister of foreign affairs. He was minister for almost 12 years, so the longest serving minister foreign affairs to the date. So he is sort of a new face, definitely, for that post.
So do you think that because of his experience in the foreign policy, it can maybe shift a bit from the government to the presidential palace, the general shaping of international policy, or is it not possible in Latvian system?
Well, the president has largely symbolic role, but it depends very much on personalities. And strong personalities with good team can make more impact on foreign policy. And definitely, President Rinkevic is going to remain a central figure in foreign policy for years to come. So definitely for the upcoming 4 years of his first term. We'll see if a second term will come, but he will definitely be a central person of Latvia's foreign policy, because we have had different presidents. Some have spearheaded foreign policy, others have focused but more on the domestic policy. So he will definitely push the foreign affairs issue.
Well, in our times, the times we are living in right now, with the war in Ukraine, with the growing threat from Russia and China, and the very unstable situation in Belarus, it actually can be good for Latvia and for Europe.
Yes, experienced politicians, which had the governments and the presidential palaces. This is, of course, an asset. Also, in our case, continuity and stability is an asset.
What's his attitude towards Ukraine? He acted as the foreign minister, so he has some experience.
Definitely, he has been quite tough on Russia, to say the least, and he's been a strong supporter of Ukraine, and nothing is going to change in that matter. So Latvia and, of course, the president is going to stay committed as long as it takes.
Quite recently, we've had the NATO summit in Vilnius. Latvia also joined the declaration of support of Ukraine. Do you think that after this summit, was this summit historical in any way? And what can be gained for Latvia from this summit?
Well, this was a historical summit and one of the most important ones for Latvia, as for the first 13 years, the Baltic states were members only on paper, members of NATO, since there was basically no allied military presence in the Baltic states. We had the air patrolling mission conducted from Lithuania, and that was basically it. So some allies came for exercises, but that was it. Wales and Warsaw summits were fundamental. They led to the establishment of enhanced forward presence, battle groups in the Baltic states and Poland as well. And now the decisions taken at Vilnius, they will lead to doubling the size of the battle groups. Canadians are doubling the number of soldiers that they're deploying to Latvia and sending also some tanks. So things are getting better. So Lithuania will get around 4,000 German troops, which is quite amazing, what a turnaround of German foreign defense policy. So Latvia has definitely gained, so as the other two Baltic states. So apart from that, membership of Sweden, which is now almost sealed, that also helps, and also the new defense plans that were approved for the Baltic states and NATO at large, they will also be helpful.
However, Lithuania noticed that Germany is a bit is not too eager to send those troops, and they are still waiting, although the agreement stated something else.
Yes, so there was quite a public spat, and Lithuanian officials and politicians were rather direct in their approach to Germany, and Germany took a U-turn briefly before the NATO summit in Vilnius, since Lithuanians understood that indeed the entire brigade should be deployed to Lithuania, so that was their understanding, but Germans said no, we have only a small portion of soldiers in Lithuania and the rest of the brigade will be based in Germany. And they would be deployed in 10 days, which, sounded quite bizarre for the situation where the Baltic states are located. But Minister Pistorius, he changed the course quite considerably and committed 4,000 troops. And Lithuanians have to build the necessary infrastructure now. So now it seems that the hardcore approach of Lithuanians has paid off. So they were quite frank, quite direct. They were criticizing Germans for not holding to the promises and understanding of Lithuanians, and we have the decision. So Germany is coming with 4,000 soldiers, probably not immediately until 2026, it is the understanding, but this will be the biggest deployment of foreign troops to the Baltic states.
In Poland and Lithuania, one of the most important topics right now is the potential threat of the Wagner group, which is stationed in Belarus. Latvia is also bordering Belarus, but, you have far shorter border than we do. Do you speak about it? Is it a topic?
Yes, this is a topic. It's, of course, of slightly smaller topicality here than it is in Poland and also in Lithuania. And I think one issue is, of course, the length of the border, but I think Poland is the prime target for Belarus and Russia, because this is, of course, a common project. Well, the migration crisis, the artificial migration crisis, and also the stationing of Wagner troops in Belarus, So Latvia feels, of course, this is an issue, but not to the level as Poland does. So far, so good. Of course, we have to stay vigilant. The institutions are vigilant. The new president was recently at the border inspecting how things are. So there is, of course, anxiety, but at the same time, you know, we shouldn't also exaggerate things, at least also this current moment, since Wagner is definitely going to become an integral part of the armed forces of Russia. So that's not going to be like, in the words of Lukashenko, like excursion of Wagnerites to Warsaw or anywhere else. So if anything were to happen, that will be sanctioned by Kremlin. And, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, freelance operation. And when we look at Poland, of course, Poland has one of the best armed forces in Europe currently. And Poland is definitely well aware of the risks and also well prepared.
Today in Poland, we have the day of the army, and we have, it's a national holiday. We've had a big parade, military parade in Warsaw. And of course, it sparked discussions in Poland. First of all, should we make such parades when we are in such a danger? Maybe the tanks should be deployed somewhere in the field near the border and not parading in Warsaw. But it also sparked the questions about buying of armaments and also about those tanks and those armored vehicles that we've sent to Ukraine. Do you think that the countries of the eastern flank of NATO, was it a good decision to send tanks, to send armored vehicles, to send ammunition to Ukraine? Should we continue doing it?
Definitely, as long as it takes, because this is, you know, it's not only a fight for the future of Ukraine, but also for the Baltic states and also for the Poland and other countries. So it's, you know, beyond doubt that we have to continue. Latvia has also been diligent in this respect. The Baltic states are one of the leaders per GDP, you know, of contribution to Ukraine. Latvia, for example, it sent virtually all of its military helicopters, since propelled howitzers, you know, anti-tank and anti-aircraft systems, and we will definitely continue that, and also large portions of the society have donated, you know, different sorts of things, money, clothes, SUVs. So it's still quite an important issue here, because people here in the Baltic states consider that the Ukrainians are fighting not only for their future and independence, but also for ours.
I've seen some Ukrainian flags here in Riga. Not few, I would say. I would say rather a lot of them. Is the support for Ukraine still strong in Latvian society? In Poland, there are some groups, there are some circles that are pushing this anti-Ukrainian agenda, and many people start to feel maybe tired with supporting Ukraine, or maybe bored.
Yes, so that is also an issue that has to be discussed here. So I would definitely say that the support is still strong, but as with any war, well, people get used to that, and gradually, of course, some flags somewhere have been removed. So there were more flags, definitely, in February, and especially, you know, starting from March and February 2022. So there is, you know, sort of a new phase, and still people continue supporting Ukraine. Recently, we run a public survey, a national representative survey on the attitude towards war in Ukraine. So we asked, one of the questions was, is Russia to blame for war in Ukraine, and around 8 out of 10 Latvians, so ethnic Latvians, said yes, that Russia is to blame. At the same time, 4 out of 10 Russian speakers said that yes, Russia is to blame. So there's still the issue of Russian speakers in the Baltic states, and especially in Latvia, as well as Estonia, because you can definitely attribute the strong support of Ukraine to convincing majority of ethnic Latvians, but not to Russian speakers, because then you can look at this situation as is the glass half empty or half full, because there are many Russian speakers which are with Ukraine, but at the same time as many which are not.
What's the current situation concerning Russian speakers and Russians in Latvia? Because there was this issue of Russians without Latvian citizenship. Was it dealt with? And what with the others? Do they experience, have the situation changed after the Russian invasion of Ukraine and after a year and a half?
Well, there have been many decisions taken, both for the domestic audience and also for Russia. So, sanctions against Russia. So there have been bans on travel and so forth. When it comes to the domestic audience, if I may put it so, TV channels registered in Russia have been blocked. So as many websites registered in Russia with an aim to restrict the propaganda from Russia. There have been also decisions taken on removing and demolishing remaining Soviet occupation monuments. Also the largest one in the Baltic states, the so-called Victory Monument, was taken down last August. So there has been quite widespread campaign of de-Russification and de-Sovietization. Also amongst the decisions was a decision to completely reform the education sector. From around 2025, all schools will teach lessons in the Latvian language only. Of course, Russian language or Polish language or other minority languages will be taught in that respective language. But the segregation of the education system will be tarnished starting from 2025. So there have been many decisions taken. Also, one issue which is currently rather big is the Russian citizens in Latvia. So they have to prove that they can speak the Latvian language. So they have to prove this, and has been some disagreement, to say the least, in the groups of Russian speakers, that some also elderly people above 60 or 70, they also have to prove proficiency of the Latvian language, or else they might be deported if they have no justification.
Pretty soon, in about 3 weeks, we'll have also one important event. We'll have the Free Seas Initiative Summit in Bucharest. Latvia is a part of this initiative. What's the attitude of Latvia towards the Free Seas Initiative, and what's its role in the initiative?
Well, Latvia has been quite positive about the initiative. Last year, Latvia hosted the Free Seas Initiative Summit, so it was big for Latvia last year. So the importance has declined this year, but Latvia still remains committed to this initiative, and the Russia's war in Ukraine definitely reinvigorated this initiative, since it also underlined that we have to develop also the north-south energy, transportation, and digital connectivity links, and have to bring in also Ukraine and Moldova. So for that sense, it has gained a sort of a momentum. At the same time, of course, Latvia and its economy is rather small when you take the amount of investment which is necessary to bring this initiative to reality. Of course, it is is quite active. There's rotating presidency each year, changing hands. It is quite an important format, but it still has to prove itself.
Last topic, China. China used to be a promising partner for Baltic states at one moment, but right now we see turn in very opposite direction. What do you think can be done about it? What should be done about it? Should we seek some agreement with China, or should we just cut off all the links and learn to live without it?
Yeah, China was rather active, especially in 2016. Riga hosted the 16+1 summit. So the Chinese Prime Minister Li Keqiang came to Riga, and there were hopes here in Latvia, especially in the business community, that China might become a sort of alternative to Russia's market, also to the Russian cargo that has been transiting Latvia, but to no vain. Starting from 2017-2018, there was a sort of fatigue in the business community, and also also among politicians, because there were many promises from China, but not much materialized, to say the least. And of course China became more and more authoritarian and more assertive abroad, and Lithuania has felt it most of the Baltic states, since Lithuania allowed the Taiwanese representation office to be opened in Vilnius bearing the name Taiwanese. So China was not happy about it, and it de facto expelled the Lithuanian diplomatic staff from China. This all resulted in all three Baltic states leaving the so-called 16+1, or then it was already 17+1 format. So that format is dead, at least from the perspective of the Baltic states. So there are not many hopes associated with China. And of course, China's implicit support to Russia over the war in Ukraine, it finished it all. But having told that, of course, you can't ignore China. China is big, and its role is continuing to increase globally. And it's not really possible to completely decouple from China. So the Baltic policy will be having more and more principles based towards China. China, but at the same time, as the United States is trying currently also, to find a balanced approach with China, so also probably the Baltic states will. But again, Lithuanians will probably be the toughest in their diplomacy towards China.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.